Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Oh, good to have you guys here. You've been sitting long enough. Will you please stand for a second? If you can, stand. If you can't, that's fine. I'd like to stand as we read from God's word because there's something powerful about his word. When someone of reverence and honor comes into the room, you likely stand to receive them, but you ought to. And so as gentlemen and as people who honor God's word, just we posture ourselves and we say, God, your word is awesome and it's mighty and it's active and it's here to correct and to teach and inspire us. So let me read a couple scriptures to you that are going to frame our time today. The first is a scripture that I preached on at Newhart just a couple weeks ago, really. Isaiah 43, let me read it to you. Isaiah 43, starting in verse 18, it says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, it says this, you know this one, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." And Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says this, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." And God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word that it challenges and it corrects and it gives direction to our lives. And God, I pray that you would give us grace for the new thing that you're doing. God, give us grace to experience the new thing that you're doing, God, because we believe that you are truly making a way in the wilderness. You are making streams in the desert. You are going ahead of us, and we desire your protection, your health as we move forward. And God, we also say, God, give us a clear path. Make a way where we don't see that there could be a way. And God, we want to trust in you and in your ways and in your plans. And God, we say, give us vision for the future. God, give us your perspective of the future. God, we want to run in your vision for our lives and for our church, not our vision for our lives and our church. We want to be in step with you, Holy Spirit. So God, speak to us through your word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated now. I really love that verse, Proverbs 29, 18. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's one I've preached on a lot, and it's one that's given me lots of direction for my life. It says this, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint." Let me say that again. "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint." Well, what this proverb is teaching is that if there is no forward God-given vision, the people cast off restraint. Now, I don't know what translation of the Bible you have, but just about every translation seems to decipher this verse a little bit differently. But where there is no prophetic vision, this is where there is no God-given vision for the future, the people cast off restraint. But a better translation of that phrase, cast off restraint, because that's a little bit confusing, it might be gets discouraged or becomes overwhelmed, or your translation, your Bible may say that they perish. Where there is no God-given vision, the people get discouraged. They give up and they get overwhelmed. Isn't this a true statement? Yes. Where there is no God-given vision, you will get discouraged. You will want to give up. You will get overwhelmed. It's just a fact. We think about the source of our discouragement. We think of, oh, the devil is making me discouraged, or maybe I made some bad decisions in the past, or maybe I messed up, and those are the sources of our discouragement. I really think that the source of most of our discouragement is that we are simply not living in God's vision for our lives. We're living in some other vision for our lives, and that is discouraging. It is the difference between swimming upstream and swimming downstream. When you are swimming with the current, life life is easy, life is good. For every stroke, you move 5 feet. When you're trying to swim upstream, you paddle, you paddle, you paddle, and you hardly make any progress. My friends up in Washington at my grandparents' house, their neighbor had a training pool, and you'd get in the pool and swim, and there were jets that would push water at you, so you'd swim against the jets, and that's how you train. So it was like the size of a hot tub, but you would just swim, and you paddle, 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 and you'd go nowhere. You'd swim against the current. And our lives can feel that way sometimes. We're paddling, 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 but we're not getting anywhere. And it's likely because you're chasing after a vision for your life that isn't God's vision for your life. And it is so discouraging. No wonder you want to give up. No wonder you want to throw in the towel to your faith. No wonder you want to stop going to church. No wonder you want to stop that relationship or stop whatever that career is, because you're fighting against God. No wonder. It is so discouraging. It is so discouraging to chase after your dreams when your dreams aren't God's dreams. Am I preaching to anybody, or is this just a word for me? Because I've been there. I mean, tomorrow I will maybe be there again. The truth is that God has a vision. He has a prophetic, God-given vision for your future. And his plan for your life will not leave you discouraged. God's plan for your life will leave you fulfilled in every single way. But much like God has a plan for your life, God has a plan for our life. God has a personal plan for you, and God has a corporate plan for our church. You're here today because you're part of that plan. God has a strategic and a unique plan for this church. I know it. I know it with all my heart. I know that I know that I know that God is doing a new thing. So you see, God is creative. He's way more creative than the most creative person in the room. Who's the most creative person in the room? He's more creative than that person. I'm looking around. There's a lot of creative people here. I'm like, I don't want to offend anybody, so. God, in his creativity, given us creativity as well. He loves to rescue, he loves to heal, he loves to redeem, he loves to restore, and he loves to do it in a new way all the time. God doesn't want to be predictable in his method of rescue. That's why when God has come and touched your life, your story is so unique and beautifully different than everyone else around you, because God is unique and beautiful in the way he rescues. It's just how he does life. You could stand up and share your story of God's interaction in life, and it's going to be vastly different than everyone else in the room, because God is unique in how he rescues. He just doesn't duplicate his rescue style. He likes to do a new thing. He likes to do a new thing. Tell you what, church, if we're going to be a church that reaches our city, if we're going to be a church that glorifies God in everything we do, if we're going to be a church that honors God with our finances in our facility, we have to understand that God is going to do something brand stinking new. He doesn't want to do something he always did before, because he wants to do a new thing. Because when God does a new thing, we are all the more desperate and hungry for more of him. I don't want God just to do what he did before. I don't want God to do through me what he did through Pastor Fred. I don't want God to do through me what he did from Pastor Rick. I want God to do a brand new thing that he hasn't even done in me yet. Amen. Because if he's just doing something old, then I'm just looking to the past. I don't want to be looking to the past. I want to be looking to the future, because God has given us a prophetic, God-centered, God-given vision for the future. And it makes me hungry for him. It makes me need him more. Come on. If it were the other way around and God said, Matt, I want you to do what Fred always did, then guess who I'd call for direction? Pastor Fred. But God is doing a new thing, and it comes from a new source. It comes from God, and it makes me need him more. And today is the day, church, that we hear God's vision for our church and for our lives. And this is the day we don't just hear it. I don't want to come in one ear and out the other, but the word says that we should also perceive it, hear it, understand it, and we should live in it, right? Well, each year I ask God to give me a word for the church. And I don't know if you ever do this, but it's kind of a fun thing to do around New Year's, is say, just spend some time with the Lord and just say, God, give me a word for this year. A word that will really center me, a word that will inspire me, a word that will give me vision and direction, kind of something that will ground you for the whole year. Kind of it'll help you frame all the decisions that you make, right? Like if your word of the year was danger, we ought to see you doing dangerous things. If your word of the year is lazy, we ought to see you doing lazy things. So this word, it grounds us, it gives us vision, it gives us something that will center us for what God has in store for us. And the word of the year that I want to share with you today is this. The word is simply rooted. Amen. Rooted. Let me read to you Colossians chapter 2. It says this, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says this. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Amen. So walk in him, rooted and built up. Paul is telling the Colossian church, and I think he's telling us too, get rooted in Christ. Allow Jesus to be your foundation, your source, your nourishment. Allow Jesus to be your everything. I'll tell you what, if you allow Jesus to be your everything, you will want nothing. Right? If you allow Jesus to be your everything, you will be without need or want. He will be your everything. You won't need that girl. You won't need that guy. You won't need that paycheck. You won't need anything because you are rooted, firmly established in him. Man, I tell you what, I spend so much of my time, I know you do too, trying to find your identity in other things outside of Jesus. And you know that it always leaves you wanting more, that nothing this earth can provide will sustain you like Jesus can. Why are we so dumb then? We hear about it on Sunday and we go, yeah, amen, preacher brother. And then tomorrow we're like, we got to get that new job. We got to get that new bid. It's got to get accepted. We got to present ourselves like this. How quick would we go from amens in a pew to living it on Monday? Crazy. I'm just saying it because I do the same thing too. God is inviting all of us in the room, whether you're going to be here with us this year or not, he's inviting you to get rooted in Christ Jesus. Like soil is to roots, Jesus should be to us. Amen. He is inviting us to allow our roots to grow deeper in God and deeper in our relationships. I think that's really a picture of a healthy life for me, is someone who's firmly established in God and someone who's fully invested in other people. If you knew someone who would say that about themselves, I am rooted, I am grounded and established in Jesus and his love, and I am obediently serving and nurturing those around me, that would be someone who is having a very full life. But few of us could say those words with extreme confidence. Imagine what your life would look like if you had a deeper relationship with God and you were more deeply invested in other people. Just imagine. Imagine, let's just fast forward to a year from now. You've got a little more gray hair, a little bit less hair. Imagine, some of you, but imagine a year down the road, and you could say, this year, I am more established, more rooted in Jesus, and I am more invested in the people around me. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Yeah. Yes. Man, that would be worth celebrating. Jesus, he summed up these two priorities. A lawyer comes and tries to question Jesus, and it's in Matthew chapter 22. A lawyer comes to Jesus and he tries to question Matthew 22, verse 36. This is what the lawyer says. He says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, this is Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. The greatest commandment is really twofold. Loving God and loving others. And if you think about it, the two are really inseparable. Someone who tells me, I love God so much, but hates other people, that's weird. And try loving people out of your own love, you will get exhausted. When I try to love people that aren't very lovable, I'm drawn back to Jesus' love because I need a source to draw from. Because some people are like leeches and they just suck the love right out of you. And you got to replenish that love with the love of God. So people that pour their lives into other people, you get discouraged, you get dissatisfied, you get angry because you need to draw from a source.
Come on. That's right.
You can't love God and hate others. And I don't think you can love others the way God would have you without loving God too. They work together like a hinge. This year, we are purposing in our hearts as a church, and we're purposing in our church calendar. I mean, this is more than just a phrase that we're screaming out. This is more than a logo, more than some sort of chant. This is simply who we want to be this year in every facet of church life. We want to get rooted. We want to grow more deeply, more intimately with God, and we want to grow more deeply, more intimately in serving his people too. Rooted. Rooted in God and rooted in relationships. You know, we live in a culture more concerned with fruit than roots.
Come
on. I kind of rhymed. I'm like a lyrical gangsta up here. We live in a culture, right? Think about it for a second. We live in a culture way more excited with the fruit of someone's lives than the root of their lives. Can I get off my notes for a second and get weird? Let's get weird. Think about the celebrities and the athletes that we all admire. Think about the permission we give them to behave as long as they put out good movies and your team wins. Just think about it for a second. We let our celebrities and our idols get away with horrendous things as long as they provide for our needs and wants. We allow the fruit of their lives to be rotten, providing that we get what we want out of them. We celebrate the fruitfulness of others, the presumed fruit. And I think it's the fake fruit of someone's life. Let me just do this way. We celebrate the exterior of someone's lives, and we pay little attention to the interior of their lives. I don't mind if you look good and you're polished on the outside. We want people who are polished on the outside, who are dead and rotten in the middle. And Jesus had very strong words to say about this kind of behavior. Yes. We're like the Pharisees. We're like the whitewashed tombs. We're like the exterior is polished and pretty, but inside is rotting bones and rotting flesh.
Come on, Matt.
We live in a culture that just loves the polished and the pretty on the outside, but we could care less about the roots on the inside. But I tell you what, not so in the kingdom of God. The truth is that you don't get lasting fruit without good roots. You don't. I'm not like a gardener per se. We have cactuses for a reason at our house. But if you have a plant with unhealthy roots, you have an unfruitful, unhealthy plant. When we talk about being rooted in Christ, being rooted in relationships, we're saying we are going to do the hard work of cultivating that life under the surface that's healthy because we want to provide fruit that's good. And it's not popular to work on the inside of yourself. It's more popular to polish the outside of yourself. Roots provide three essential things, and I've got kind of three points I want to talk about today. Roots provide three essential things for plants, and they help us understand the value of being rooted in Christ. And so this is a little lesson from high school, you know, biology class or something. First of all, can you say rooted? Say it.
Rooted.
Say it again. Say rooted.
Rooted.
Number one, roots give stability. Roots give stability. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Roots give stability. A tree with shallow roots isn't a stable tree, is it? Have you been to the redwoods or the forest and you've seen a big tree? That huge, massive tree doesn't have roots that go down 2 feet. The roots are spread out wide and deep. The roots are what gives a tree the stability that it has. This is what a tree looks like. We celebrate the fruit and the leaves and the shade that it provides, but it doesn't provide any of that if the roots don't grow deep. There's a lot going on below the surface of a plant to give it stability. And trees with deep roots, they can weather storms, they can weather drought, scorching sun, wind, cold. Because their roots run deep. Yes. Don't you wish you had a little bit more stability in your spiritual life? Yes. Wouldn't it be nice if it didn't feel like every little storm just uprooted you and just knocked you around? It's not a good feeling, right? You feel like you're doing real well and your relationship with God is thriving and growing, and all of a sudden you get that email or that phone call or you have that conversation, and all of a sudden it's like you feel like your foundation is gone. I mean, I can only say all these words because I've received your phone calls and emails where you've said, it's all crumbling, it's all falling apart. It feels that way sometimes. In the last couple years, has bad news sent your spiritual life into a downward spiral? Anybody? Has bad news just sent your spiritual life? You're like, I got nothing to hold on to. It's all getting wobbly. It's all getting a little bit wonky. Did something happen to you? Or did someone say something to you that just rattled you? It really rattled you. Just knocked you off your butt for a while. Did you get offended? Did you get rejected? Did you get disappointed? And it damaged your faith, if even for a season? I mean, I think we can all raise our hands. Something this year came by and just swooped in and just made us concerned about the stability of our spiritual life. Something probably happened to all of us this year. Those are great indicators that you haven't let your roots grow deep. Let me say it this way. It is a little bit more encouraging. If this last year something has come and just rattled your stability, I feel like that's just an invitation from the Lord. That's what I tell people when they call me. They go, it's all crumbling. My life is falling apart. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms. Everything's falling apart around them. Everything they touch is just breaking. I just say, you know what? What a great opportunity you have to let your roots grow deep. Yeah. When you feel like life comes and shakes you and rattles you, it's not an attack of the enemy. It's not the devil. It's God giving you an opportunity that you're going to draw from a brand new source, that you're going to start drawing from Jesus. Because when things are going good, I don't draw from Jesus like I should. When things are going bad, I'm like, wait a minute, I got to draw from a new source. I got to let my roots grow deeper. It's not an indictment about your spirituality. It's an invitation to deeper spirituality. I always know when Carlos is in the room because he's there for me. You want some deeper spirituality? You want a deeper faith? Let your roots grow deeper then. You got to put some effort towards it. You got to cultivate the soil. You got to protect it, just like a plant. Everyone say rooted.
Rooted.
Number two, roots give nourishment. I'm sure you remember this from science class. Roots actually carry the nutrients from the soil to the plant so it can be fruitful. I tell you what, this is why we plant God's word in our hearts. This is why we invest God's word into our hearts. See, it's great that God's word is on your phone. It's great that God's word is in your Bible, collecting dust next to your bedstand. It's great that it's there. But I tell you, the times that I need a word from God is a time that I don't have my phone and my Bible is far away. Because you can have God's word planted in your heart. See, I've got the lyrics to like every Snoop Dogg song planted in my heart because I was around it so much in my 20s. Don't criticize me. How much more beneficial would it be if God's word was planted in my heart? And instead of me wanting to quote Snoop Dogg to my problems, I want to quote the Psalms of David to my problems. Psalm 119, verse 111. You didn't know you were going to hear about Snoop Dogg today, but you did. Anybody wake up and say, I hope he talks about Snoop Dogg? Nobody. Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I've stored up your word in my heart. I've planted, I've invested your word inside my heart so that I can draw from it when needed. Nothing's worse than trying to draw from God's word in your heart and you got none of God's word in your heart. That's when you start phoning your friend and posting junk on Facebook. That's a whole tangent, and we'll get back to that later. Rather, I want God's word to be the source I draw from in any situation. He's my number one run-to thing. Tell you what, I don't need to smoke because I run to Jesus and he satisfies me. I don't need to run to the bottle because I don't need it because Jesus satisfies me. I run to Jesus before I run to anybody, anything else because Jesus satisfies me. I'm going to just leave that at that because I like you guys and I want you to come back again. Allow your spiritual roots to grow deep. I'm telling you what, I'm inviting you to a brand new way to think about your spirituality. That it's time, church, to start investing in a deeper relationship with Jesus and his word. Yeah. It's time. It's time. You've gone on long enough with shallow roots, all right?
Come on, that's right.
Everyone say rooted.
Rooted.
Number three, roots give health. Roots give health. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 says this, says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. I tell you what, when you have a rooted and deep relationship with Jesus, you experience a type of health that you can't experience in any other way. You know, I learned something new as I was studying this week. I learned that their roots actually have this membrane around them. So you're going to learn something. Roots have this membrane around them that actually protects the whole tree from sickness, from illness, from disease, from viruses, from infection. Is that crazy? Do you know that? The roots have this membrane around them that protects the whole tree from attacks from the soil around it. So if you think about, what does this mean for you? If you allow your roots to grow deeper in God, you're actually protecting yourself too.
Amen.
You're actually creating a barrier between you and the enemy. I mean, I could preach this point, and this could be my only point. If you develop and you cultivate roots that run deep in God, it actually protects you. That actually shields you from some of the stuff that trips you up when you have shallow roots. Stability, nourishment, and health. Those are some of the benefits of having a rooted life. Those are all good words. That you'd be stable, secure, and strong. That you'd be well-fed and you'd be healthy in your spiritual development. Those would be all really good things. You ever notice how someone with a deep relationship with God doesn't get tripped up by the same things that you get tripped up with? Can you think of someone who is a mentor, someone who is an example of a deep relationship with God? They don't get shaken by the stuff you get shaken with. They don't complain about the stuff you complain about. They're healthy in ways that you're still dysfunctional in. I think about people like that in my life, and they're solid, they're wise, they're generous. And they didn't just come out of the womb that way. They had to cultivate that kind of lifestyle. See, if you felt like the spirituality, the relationship you have with God is deep enough, I want to tell you there's so much more to God than what you're experiencing. There's so much more to him. Becoming rooted in your faith means developing a deeper stability, a deeper nourishment, and a deeper health. And I know that it's God's desire for us as a church, for me personally, for you, that this is the year that we take our relationship with God much more seriously. You want all of his blessings? Yeah. You do. We all do. His invitation is he wants to bless your life. He really, really does. As you are rooted and grounded in him. I have so many more notes here. I'm trying to figure out what to say. I know you have something at 3 today, so. You don't? Okay, cool. Let's keep going then. TiVo it. Our goal for this year, Vintage Faith, is that we allow our roots to grow deeper in God. I tell you what, if you felt like you came in here today and you've got a real shallow relationship with God, do not feel criticized or do not feel offended. It is not the point of today's message. The point of today's message is there's an invitation for you. Yeah. You can have a more stable, deeper relationship with God.
Yes.
You have not arrived when it comes to the things of God. There's more. In his invitation, you see God is saying, I'm just inviting you to a deeper relationship with me. I'm inviting you. Come closer, come closer. And at the same time as God invites us to have a deeper relationship with him, he also invites us to have a deeper relationship with each other. Because we're the other side of the great commandments. We love the Lord our God, and we also love our neighbors. They go hand in hand. As you love God, you will be forced to love others in a new way. Everyone say rooted. This year we have some exciting things in store for us as a church and for you guys. We're excited to experience all the new things that God has for all of us. We believe that this church of ours, it exists for a reason. It's more than just putting on a Sunday show. I'm glad you like the show. I'm glad you're here today, but this church exists for more than just doing this stuff on Sundays. It really does. And I'm glad we have such a beautiful building, and it's wonderful. And those of you from Newhart, you're going to get lost once in a while. It's cool. Just leave a breadcrumb wherever you go. You'll make your way back around. But this year, we envision some great things about this building. We'll be rolling out a small group strategy and a discipleship-making strategy for the church. See, we're doing more than just talking about how this is important. We're actually going to be doing it and living it. So we're excited to roll that out here around Easter time. You're going to learn more about our small groups and our discipleship strategy. We're rethinking and reevaluating how we do our Wednesday night Bible study. That's when we do Bible study. Wednesday nights at 7, Pastor Rick is going to be taking the helm soon. And we're going to be rethinking how we do Bible study on Wednesday. Make sure it's more effective. It's a better use of all your time so you can actually grow deeper in God's word. We're excited about some of the things we want to do for our facility. We have a beautiful building. And like your home, there are some areas of our church that are a little bit dilapidated. We've kind of used duct tape to finish some things we should have used concrete to fix, you know? So there are some things that need to get fixed around the church. And so you're going to see some upgrades to the facility, maybe some new lights, maybe some different kind of things of that sort that are important. We also think that, how comfortable are you in your pew right now? You could just, some of you are sleeping, but it's probably not because it's comfortable. But we love these pews. Thank you, Jesus, for pews. We also love more comfortable seating. So one of the things we're looking at this year is upgrading our seating in the sanctuary to chairs, which would be a little bit more comfortable. I mean, they're going to be the nice ones that recline like at the movie theater. There's a little button and someone will come and pick up your offering from you when you're ready. That means spare no expense. Those will be for the first two rows. That's an incentive to get here at church on time. But we're excited to start kind of a fundraising campaign to try to raise the money together to get new chairs in here. And if you really love these pews, and I know some of you have, especially you're attached to these, we will give you one. I don't want you to be, yeah. Brian Lucas will deliver it to you in the thrift store truck. You could have a pew and you can sit on it. You can sleep on it. That's some of what we have in our hearts for this year. We're going to dig into God deeper and harder than we ever have before. We're going to dig into relationships deeper and harder than we ever have before. We're going to start investing some money in our building to get it so that it can be a real blessing to our community. We get calls every once in a while from the city needing a space to use, to rent for some sort of program, and we just can't even let them use this space because they need to put tables in here. They need chairs. They don't want to have rows like this. So chairs would give us the ability to actually bless our city, which is an amazing opportunity. So we're excited about all those things. We're going to do communion here. And when I think about communion and I think about Jesus as he's getting ready to go and he's getting ready to go to the cross, he has this really special moment with his disciples, right? They're all together celebrating the Last Supper together and they join together at the table. You've seen the pictures. All 12 of them or 13 of them are all sitting on just one side of the table as you do. But that was just for the photo op. That's how they took the picture. Then they all went back around the table. But what really happened is they reclined around the table. And the moment Jesus had the Last Supper with the disciples, it was this unifying moment. If you think about it, it was the calm before a really desperate storm. It was that last real peaceful moment before Jesus is going to be beaten and abused and betrayed and given over and crucified. It was the last real holy moment that they get together. And I think when we come to communion, we say, we're coming together as a body to have a peaceful moment together, to remember the giver of perfect peace, Jesus. Jesus came to give us his perfect peace. And I don't know how you feel today. If you're from Newhart, this is all weird and different. You heard someone else preach other than Rick, and that was interesting. And you don't know where some things are. There's a little bit of chaos in your mind. I get it. We feel it too. But when we come to communion today, we're rallying around the one thing that brings us all together. The communion table, it is the common denominator that goes past style, past volume, past music selection, past seating, past the traffic to get here. This is the unifying moment for us. And I wanted to do communion a little bit differently today. Rick, can you come on up here and stay on this side? Rick and I really represent two really great churches that have now become one awesome church. And when we think about communion, we think about this time where we get to look at each other and pause and reflect and remember the goodness of God. We're going to take communion a little bit differently today, and the invitation for you is going to be that you would enter off the sides. So for you guys, go that way, and for you guys, go that way. And you're going to come up, and you may end up on the other side of the table from someone you don't know. And you may end up on the other side of the table from someone that you've never met before. But there's such a holy, unifying moment. We come to the Lord's table together. Though we come being very different, coming from very different perspectives maybe, very different experiences, we come together at the table. We say, Jesus is the one that unifies us. And so we're going to take communion, and the band, you can come up, sorry. The band come up, we're going to sing a song. And as you come up to take communion today, I have very special instructions that I feel like we should do. Now, sometimes we serve each other, and that's beautiful and nice too. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to model it for you, okay? When you come up to take communion, you're going to stand on the other side of the table from somebody, and I want you to look this person in their eyeballs. I want you to look them in their eyes. And give them a big kiss. No, I'm just joking. Hopefully there's something cute on the other end. I want you to look on the other end of the table here. I want to say, I'm happy you are here. I'm happy you're here. That's all I want you to say. I'm happy you're here. And take your juice and take your wafer. And of course, you know the cup represents Jesus' blood that was poured out, shed for us, covering our sin. And the wafer, oh, those are good-sized chunks. This represents Jesus' body that was broken for us. So as you come up, you're just going to look the other person in the eyes and say, what are you going to say? I'm happy you're here. And then receive communion and go back to your seat. So as the band plays, we'll just do this. How fun having communion together with our extended family, now our new family. We have a gift for you today. We have this really cool journal for you to take home with you as a good reminder to start doodling. And they're really cool because they're unique. It has lines on one side, and then flip it over, blank pages on the other side. You'll get this and you'll be like, what kind of journal is that? It is straight from Shark Tank. The latest thing in journals is this version. You'll really like it. So we want you to have this gift from us, and I hope it's a reminder this year about becoming more rooted in your faith and grounded in God's love. So grab one of these as you go through one of these doors. There's going to be great people there handing them out to you. Well, hey, everyone, have a great Super Bowl. Enjoy the halftime show. And remember, be the church. We'll see you next Sunday.